I would like to thank the City of Salem, Massachusetts, as well as the Enchanters Guild, the Board of Extra-Human Relations, and the Forest Service for allowing us to safely gather once again. But, above all, I want to thank all of you for coming out here today. Without your enthusiastic support and the support of thousands from across the country, we would not have been able to make this festival a reality. There is an old saying, before the light, there was darkness. As Samhain approaches, we celebrate the end of life. Not out of fear or out of sadness, but out of reverence for those who have come before. Out of honor for those who give us hope to live on. The summer has come to an end, and the wheel of the year prepares to turn anew. And with that, we return for another festival to celebrate us. Now, then, and forevermore. Welcome to Parts and Fun 2020.
That was Marcia Akana, witch and spokesperson for the Essex County Enchanters Guild, ushering in the Pagan New Year with the second annual Frights and Fun Festival in the City of Salem. Though, as many of you might be aware, this is not the first time the festival has taken hold during the final week of October. The festival was shut down throughout the U.S. after a series of horrifying accidents in 1984, leading the country to the conclusion that such festivals were a danger to the public. In 2019, Salem was the first city to restore the festival and achieved many fundraising goals to continue the festivities in the coming years. Why exactly the local government had a change of heart is debatable, but it is clear that the locals and those in other cities across the country are no longer concerned of any of the dangers. But that is not what today's story is about. Keep this context in mind, however, as it will be important. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Dawn Newsletter. I'm Miranda Jones. Salem, Massachusetts is a bustling city and a haven to all creeds of inhuman and occultists, each claiming to have built a community where ancient hatchets have finally been buried. The idea has spread for many reasons, I'm sure, but the local media is what truly spread the message.
Hello, my esteemed friends, and thank you so much for tuning in to The Witchcraft Tonight, your paragon of magical innovation. I'm your host, Trevor Manny, and before we do anything juicy, I'd like to share some amazing news about one of our favorite correspondents, investigative journalist, Cheryl White. Cher, where are you coming to us from?
Right next to you, bud.
What's the big news? I feel like you should be the one to say it.
You promoted me.
You bet I did. Well, I got management to promote you anyway, and it's going to be the best decision this studio's ever made.
I definitely hope so. Trevor, I've been around a while, and I can say without a doubt that working in the writer's room of any project is where I feel at home, and more importantly, I can't wait to show just how important vampire voices are in academia. My new show, Bloodwatch, will focus on breaking news.
That was a live recording from the WTCH radio station in 2006, introducing Cheryl White as a new vampire producer, making history as the first media conglomerate in the state to run programs mostly targeted for inhumans. The station itself remained niche, but developed a following throughout the city and sparked a demand for more media, particularly news, to be made from minority perspectives. Though it never reaped the rewards of its impact, the station stayed smoothly afloat. That is, until last April, when most of the station was destroyed by some undetermined force during a late-night broadcast. The local branch of the Federal Supernatural Response Force, known as the Forest Service, covered up the incident and have denied any involvement, assuring locals that the whole event was simply an incredibly localized hurricane. And like that, most of the city's favorite shows were canceled. But Salem was characteristically unable to let go of the dead, and within weeks, the station management announced fundraisers for reconstruction efforts. Even though the station itself had a significant body count. The public began donating. To date, a modest $500,000 was raised, and a parade float was set to move during the festival to ask for more. To understand specifically what the Salemites were protesting for, I asked about their favorite shows that had been taken from them.
Oh yeah, it was awful. With the Late Day Ouija talk show off the air, I had to listen to my kids.
I've been dying to hear Baxter Fidel again. My cat keeps dragging reptiles into the house, and I gotta know why.
There were so many good ones, like no matter what time of day you turned it on, it just felt like you could talk to someone who just got you, you know?
Every show had a following of its own, each with a unique voice and message, but one in particular stood out from the rest.
Oh man, The Shadow Dispatch is such a fun one to listen to when I stay up for it.
Ewan is just the perfect mix of quirky and professional. He makes me proud to be a werewolf and should also just marry me.
Wow, honey. But valid. David is kind of just dense as a brick, but not in a super dumb way.
Oh, The Shadow Dispatch. Absolutely.
It's The Shadow Dispatch for sure.
I used to call The Shadow Dispatch every weekend and vent about my prude family. And I think it's so important for people to have that kind of outlet these days.
Oh yeah, The Shadow Dispatch was what really made that station. Everything else was just so absolutely casual. TSD was the only thing with any pizzazz. I still call into those old episodes just to feel that rush.
Mayor Alistair, you have absolutely lost my vote unless you bring back The Shadow Dispatch.
I only started listening right before the studio went down. But man, I miss The Shadow Dispatch.
The Shadow Dispatch is clearly a mainstay of Salem's nocturnal population. Produced and hosted by the aforementioned Cheryl White and her two colleagues, a werewolf named Ewan, and a human witch, David Lewis. Many listeners say that they find themselves accompanied by the show and its host through the long nocturnal commutes, late shifts, and sleepless nights spent watching the closet for movement. However, the city of Salem has been without the beloved show for several months now, ever since the alleged hurricane shut the station down. With repairs underway, we at Rising Dawn thought we'd bring you an expose into the lives of these local celebrities. October 29th, the first day of the festival. Repairs are still underway, and the roster of returning shows has not yet been posted. But one creature is already hard at work. This individual is the proprietor of WTCH, going by the name Scrimples. I caught up with him in the doorway of his home, located beneath a large oak that grows behind the studio. So, Mr. Scrimples.
Please, Magister Scrimples was my father. Call me Mr. Scrimples.
I did.
And?
So, Mr. Scrimples, you're a pixie. Do I have that right?
Friggin' pixie, she says. Do I look like I prance around in the forest in elk antlers? No, I'm not a freaking pixie. I'm a brownie. We don't prance. We meander.
My mistake. I don't know much about fair folk in these areas.
Forget it. I've been a bit touchy lately with the late nights and whatnot to make the money for the station.
So I've heard. Apparently, your fundraiser has been making quite an income.
That's right. And now that the balloon will be spared at making the greatest radio station and nothing else. Certainly not for men to have them sticks what explode that you humans make.
And as the financier and CEO of this station, I have to ask, how exactly did you come here? Don't they usually get pulled back into the other world after a little while?
You know what they say. What happens in Salem stays in Salem.
Is that literal?
I don't know. It's Salem, kid. Salem's got more spots than most other cities where there's a good amount of bleeding. Sweet bleeding. Realm bleed through, I mean. Mostly, not actual bleeding. Came through on my own legs. No magic about it. No pullback.
Interesting. So, you were able to fully come into this dimension and easily. How long have you been here?
3 or 4.
Years? Decades? Centuries?
Yep. A little time after the Great Exposure. my lands here started seeping through into yours, and boom, Scrimple Town.
Do you mean what the locals here call the unveiling?
Yeah, but actually, no. Got kicked out of Tir na n'Og for getting a little loose at one of them Sealy parties. Public debeasancy or something, I don't know. But that's around when it happened.
Helpful.
Anyhow, the wife and I ended up sweating through the veil along with the lands we found a bunch of you louts. Cutting down my trees and building this big human nest, so I took matters into my own hands.
Violently?
Nah, I just tucked apples and acorns at them, and I tied their shoelaces, cut their brake lines, and screamed at all hours of the night, until the city council sent me something about zoning laws. Then they just left me alone with this big tower that just kept saying a bunch of numbers nonstop. So I got sole proprietorship over the land, got some dudes to get the goddamn numbers to shut up. And then they told me I owned some stuff further into the city. I got a homeless shelter set up down there. I'm a man of the people, you see. I give them some housing, and they give me all the bowls of cream and snacky cakes I could ever desire.
And what about your wife? Does she help out with all of this as well?
What? Who said she worked here? She ain't worked here since that goddamn biker. Oh, as soon as I can afford to. Well, either way, it's a beautiful station.
And of the shows that are under your belt, the city seems to favor one by the name of The Shadow Dispatch. Why do you think there's such a popular program, and will you be funding it in the future?
Oh, well, they're just a good bunch of friendly and very marketable kids that are all 18 or older. Haven't been pulling in the coin much lately, but I'm sure with this fundraiser going on, they'll be back to their old selves. Station needs as much help as it can get.
Certainly. You're at, 500,000 now?
Yeah. I guess it's a lot of something. I always knew this station was special, and that's why I reached out to the city to ask for some more going. I promise, it'll make everything better, more amazing.
Well, I'm sure the city knew that you needed rebuilding funds.
That's a funny word you used. What do you mean, rebuilding?
You're talking about the fundraiser to fix your demolished studio, right?
What do you mean, demolished?
The natural disaster?
Natural disaster? I didn't hear about any... What the fuck happened to my radio?
That was the most I was able to get from Scrimples before he ran off, shouting something about how many coins he was going to lose. Unfortunately, I couldn't learn much else about the Shadow Dispatch from his perspective. Later that day, I decided to reach out to some of their regular correspondents to get their opinions. The only one to formally respond was a being by the name of Ricardo Mothman, but there was nobody at our meetup spot, save a large creature of unknown origin. However, I was able to find a show regular on the festival grounds for a quick interview. Apparently, she's another local celebrity going by the name Winona Deadwood. Miss Deadwood, why do you think the radio station, and in particular the Shadow Dispatch, should be given another chance in the city of Salem?
What's a radio station?
You know, WTCH?
What?
Sorry, maybe I misspoke. It's the radio station being rebuilt on the edge of town.
The what now? Outside of the Who? Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're a regular correspondent. Some of the most viral show clips have been from your interviews.
I don't know what those are.
It's the radio station, the one with the fundraiser. They're putting together a parade float for the DJ right over.
Yeah, sorry, but for legal reasons, I don't know what a radio is, and I certainly never use any illegal pyrotechnics in Salem.
What?
Anyway, I have to go prep my bonfire invocation with the girls. Oh, and tell your readers or whatever to follow Rollin' with Randy on YouTube.
And while that was less than helpful, it certainly helped showcase the more colorful population that makes up Salem. As the festivities continues, I decided The best way to learn about the overall message of the show was to locate and interview the three hosts, who have not been seen too much since the station disaster. On October 30th, the second day of the festival, I managed to find Ewan Taylor participating in a werewolf dunk team between concessions and a ride called the Skeleton Scrambler, where he was hyping a crowd for the full moon event later that night.
Sure, I can answer some questions.
It's not like these A-minus average students are gonna dunk me at any time today.
Love them. But also just keep a few steps back. You don't want to get beaned by a baseball.
Yes, I heard you were a professor of some sort in your second job.
First job. Depending on the semester, I'm either teaching history or...
Hey, watch it, guys. At least try to aim for the target instead of me.
I suppose it makes sense that you could get a good education position in this city. And I've been curious to know how you have been holding up since the radio station's unfortunate mishap.
Well, I mean, I've been hanging in there. I'm good at staying busy, but it's weird not to have the Shadow Dispatch. Thankfully, between my other job and workman's comp, I haven't had to worry about money much.
So you've been doing mostly teaching in the interim?
Yeah, teaching, political organizing, fundraisers, being tired. And also all of this. A friend of ours, Sarah McKnight, she asked me to help out the guild with the setup for the festival this year. Making sure the werefolk attractions are all tasteful and anything informative is historically accurate, you know.
Come on, is that your best throw? It's almost like you guys want more essay assignments.
Are you bribing your students with grades?
No, it's just a joke.
It seems that you're definitely making sure that your peers are consistently involved with the supernatural. Speaking of which, aren't you at all worried that something might go awry this year, given the festivities, the festival's track record?
I mean, it's Salem. The Frights and Fun Festival isn't always the safest place, but it's at least kept under control. And the police were able to banish all the stalkwalkers they got loose last year, so that's a plus. Most of them. Whatever. It's a Halloween blue moon tomorrow, so nothing's gonna break my stride, honestly.
I was gonna ask about that specifically. I have been told that a full moon on Halloween is a particularly rare event, and that your people tend to take to it differently. Now, don't you think it's irresponsible to make that transformation a part of a public festival?
Are you kidding? It's the second full moon happening on Samhain. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event. And it's supposed to be one of the most exhilarating and beautiful things we can experience. And all I...
Poli-sci majors don't skip arm day, Caden!
Anyway, it's nothing that anybody's gonna be forced to do in public, but our events just show up pride and... It'll be heavily protected by the participating covens, including some close personal friends.
Ah, yes, the witch, David. And possibly that Winnie girl.
Mm-hmm. You know, oddly enough, I feel like I'd trust her with my life if I could, you know, trust her at all.
Yeah, and what, though? What kind of strange things might be unleashed into the city tomorrow?
I mean, nobody can really be sure, but usually when the moon falls near Halloween, we become something a bit more, you know, primal.
And powerful, I'm sure. Possibly like that event of yours in Toronto in 2010.
Only, I mean, that's not exactly an example of like...
Why no, I'm sure the energy flowing around here this week is making you feel invincible, but you haven't answered my question. Don't you find it irresponsible to have such an event tomorrow? Or do you think that the oncoming moon is impairing your judgment?
I'm sorry, just a publication you say were...
Taylor was unfortunately knocked into the water of the dunk tank as we spoke. And even more unfortunately, due to an errant safety spell by the Mermaid Lifeguard Squad, flushed out to sea. Upon further research into the safety of the festival, the Essex County Enchanters Guild was apparently rebuked later that day for their usage of mock stalkwalkers as decorations near the entrance of the Other World Wonders. Stalkwalkers being an unofficial name given to creatures that escaped from the now-closed Infinite Corn Maze last year. The guild vehemently insisted that they use no such decorations, and upon investigation, it was found that the mannequins were missing, likely put away hastily by the tasteless cover-up. Between that, an outbreak of an exceptionally short-lived flu in the funhouse, a bout of incorrect reflections in the non-Mobius House of Mirrors, and the upcoming Blue Moon event, The festival was turning out to be a disaster by any other standards. However, many of the locals were already describing it as twice as fun as last year. Later that evening, I was able to meet up with the famous Cheryl White. This journalistic vampirist spends her days working for the Boston Orb and her nights sharing local news coverage, drama, and investigations for the greater Essex area. Now, recently, she made headlines by connecting an underground fighting ring headed by the Obsidian crime family to human councilman Eric Myers. The accusations and evidence led to consistent investigation and the man's recent resignation from the city council. We ran into each other outside the farmer's market, where I found her buying a basket of honey sticks. Cheryl, it's so nice to finally meet you in person.
Oh, it's nice to meet you too. Have we met remotely?
No, but we are in person.
Well, always nice to meet a fan.
Charmed. Now, if you don't mind my asking, I thought vampires couldn't eat anything besides blood. What's the honey for?
You know, it's the strangest thing. Most of us don't like the taste of regular food, but honey is nothing but insect bile, so it's almost the same as live blood.
How quaint. Now, I am sure that this is old news, but I was wondering if you would be willing to answer a couple of questions for my newsletter podcast regarding your recent altercations with Councilman Myers.
Of course.
Now, since the Shadow Dispatch went into hiatus in April, you've been getting back into doing pure investigative journalism, leading to a possible connection between the City Council and the Obsidian crime family. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, I don't think I'm wholly responsible for the leak, but I feel like I played a part.
Now, you put forward evidence that Myers was somehow connected with some monster-fighting ring.
It's extra-human. An extra-human fighting ring.
Oh, of course. However, this evidence has been largely disputed in court. Now, did you have anything more substantial to offer the public?
I'm sorry. What publication did you say you're from again?
Miranda Jones for Rising Dawn Productions.
Well, Miranda Jones from Rising Dawn Productions. As I'm sure you know, I printed the entire report, and you can find a detailed description of my investigation online.
Well, yes, but I wanted to know if you felt at all apologetic for labeling the man as guilty with only unsubstantiated evidence.
I think my first-hand account was very substantiated.
You found Inhumans fighting Inhumans for cash. Not particularly groundbreaking news. And yet, the public now believes that it's a human's fault. If given the chance, would you apologize for ruining any future career in politics that boy may have had?
That grown man had documents for prison transfers to facilities owned by the family that was starving extra-human people into Strigoi and dusting werewolves with moon rocks against their will. This is why there's an investigation going on.
I thought a journalist was supposed to believe in innocent until proof of guilt.
You know, I'm actually not familiar with your publication. Where are you getting your information?
Oh, I apologize if I struck a nerve there. As a fellow reporter, I understand that ongoing investigations are sensitive, if topical.
Uh-huh.
Let's switch gears. I hear that you are very involved with the renovations at the studio. Now, will you be implementing any new security measures to prevent destructive events in the future?
It's hard to say exactly what to prepare for, all things considered, but we're certainly going to be making more of an effort.
Especially considering the casualties of this past April?
Yes. Our manager luckily jumped at the opportunity as soon as he learned what a fundraiser was, and the support from the community has been enormous. As always, safety and security is a priority for the studio, and we're going to be taking measures to address issues both magically and manually.
And are you worried that your show might endanger the future of the studio and of its more, mortal employees? What with the constant normalization of dangerous forces.
What dangerous forces are we normalizing? It's a news show.
Oh, just inhuman agenda stuff and one co-host who uses unholy magics.
Oh, David isn't unholy. He's a talented witch.
Call him what you like. My sources say that he has been giving you help with your investigation without a license. Care to confirm?
I don't. Well, Miranda from Rising Dawn, it's been enlightening, but I'm just here to enjoy a festival with my friends, not to do more radio. Later days.
Likely off to consume more insects. Cheryl White refused to answer more questions, staying particularly defensive of her co-hosts. Speaking of whom, it took me another day to get a hold of the third host, David Lewis. But he was willing to sit down for an interview on October 31st, the third night of the festival, and the day of Samhain. David Lewis, as many of our listeners may be aware, is something of a conundrum. For as much of his past that he's let slip accidentally over the radio, he remains shrouded in mystery. He claims to have been raised in a family from the last Sunrise community in Philadelphia. However, no family from within the doctrine with the last name Lewis has ever come forward to say that they were related to David of XX. Still, it could be possible that the family is trying to protect his identity and in the hopes that he'll return. But if they won't step forward, we might be able to learn a little bit more about him and where he has been over the past few months. It was a particularly windy day, and as I approached the congregation at the Covens, I noticed a myriad of figures lurking in my peripheries. I was told that many spirits were crossing through the worlds today, and that the blue moon phenomenon would only make these beings even more dangerous. Still, Lewis proudly led his coven in prayer as they set their crystals around the bonfire. Mr. Lewis, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with me today. I hope I'm not distracting you too much from your work here.
Hey, no sweat. Honestly, we're way ahead of schedule with all of this here, and I've got a few minutes before I need to go run some errands.
Are you a festival organizer as well?
By accident, kinda. I got some covens into this idea that I had. Blue moons are super rare and really amp up different kinds of magical spells, so if we harness the same energy that the spirits are going to be using tonight to cross onto Earth, and celestial powers like the blue moon, we should be able to cross over onto their side for a few minutes.
Is that common practice?
Oh, it happens all the time, but government really does not want you to know what they are experimenting with, so you're not going to find it in the news anywhere.
Do you have sources for this?
I mean, have you heard of the Philadelphia experiment?
I'll need to make a note of it.
Anyway, I have a few minutes before I need to get some fresh clothes to my friend over there in the dunk tank, and then I'm heading off to the petting zoo for a story I'm doing.
We humans are always getting stuck with kitty stuff, aren't we?
Are you kidding? I chose this story myself. I'm not going to pass up a chance to see the clown breeders in action.
Clown breeders?
You know, I have never even seen a clown in person. I'm going to see if I can snag a couple of clown eggs for a thing that I'm doing.
What are you going to do with the...
Don't worry about it.
Okay, it seems that you're engaging in some colorful little hobbies.
They make milk too. If you want to check it out, I'm sure I could bring a guest into the,
No, that's fine. I was actually trying to get a hold of you to chat more broadly. Beyond tonight's festivities, I have been curious to know how you have been spending your time since the accident at the WTCH studio. Have you been spending more time with family?
No, nothing like that. I've been keeping busy with a bunch of stuff, though. Doing lots of traveling for work.
Yes, well, it doesn't seem like doing local reporting from outside the city is the wisest thing to do. Is there something you're running away from here, or back to?
I'm running to the action, baby.
Well, no, I mean getting out of a magic...
Oh, yeah, no, I get what you mean. I had been meaning to get out of Salem for a little while anyway, and when the creature... The storm hit the station. I was devastated, but my friends and I did need some breathing space, so the minute the football story hit, I asked my newspaper if I could take a road trip out to visit the other team to cover the story from there, and I've just been doing remote stories ever since.
I think it was crafty of you to leave. I hear you've been rather hard to find over the course of the last year or so.
Yes.
And so has this helped you put your life in this inhuman city in perspective?
I think the term you're looking for is extra human.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Extra human. Sorry. I'm sure part of you is meditating on why you're being drawn outside of the city.
Yeah. Meditating. Right. So the first story I did, I mentioned outside of Salem, was the one about the football games that got canceled because our opponents in Rhode Island decided to go with the astral projection route. So I decided to interview their football coven in person to see what the appeal was.
Yes, that's
scary. Most of them were comatose at the time, so I really couldn't. I couldn't see their spirits or talk to them really, but some of their sideliners were able to teach me a couple of tricks, and it really just inspired me to try bringing those teachings back here. So for the past summer, I've been making a grimoire of all the fun spells and things that I learned around the state, and hopefully I can put them on the radio when we get the Shadow Dispatch back up and running again.
Aha, so you have actually been bringing more magic into the lexicon. Weren't those football players all hospitalized? It sounds like that's absolutely not the kind of thing you should be sharing.
No, they were inexperienced. You don't want an ill-practiced doctor performing surgery.
Or anyone, for that matter.
What was that?
I said, I'm sure it's all very sensational. Still, I for one don't think that the public needs another dark book to worship.
Huh. It has been a while since I've heard anybody call a grimoire a dark book.
Well, you've just been around the wrong people for too long.
Wrong for you, if I'm reading the room right.
Aren't you worried about the purity of your listeners? Of yourself? I'm sure your family, whoever they are being judged for what you're doing.
You know, you talk about purity as if you're not seeing me trying to touch into the raw void on the holiest night of the year. And look at that, it seems that the covens are preparing to get the bonfire going. I gotta go.
I thought that wasn't until tonight.
Different bonfire. This is our New Year's invocation bonfire. With this much energy, we're gonna have way better luck manifesting in the next couple of months.
Hey, watch it, Dimitri.
Oh, hey, would you look at that? It's my good friend, Winnie.
We've met.
Oh, hey there. Long time no see. I was just adding the finishing touches on my divine invocation parchment to bestow into the Samhain bonfire. Do you want to see what it says?
This says, I want Miranda's teeth.
Oh, good. I'm glad it came out legibly.
But I didn't, I never told you my name.
I know.
But how did
Anyway, hope to see you guys over there.
I'll catch up after the clowns.
And with that, the two witches left, and my time in Salem came to an end. I didn't stick around to behold the festivities of the evening, as I had been thoroughly driven out by the locals when they were not transformed into primal beast or cavorting with demons. Although I cannot imagine that it went down well at all. If there is one thing you can discern about Salem from a walk among its streets and only a few conversations with its people, it's that creatures and beings of the night are nonplussed by the danger staring them in the eyes and unmoved by the plights of those caught in the crossfire. They will continue to pride themselves on their monster heritage and promote the normalization as a sign of progress, while those who watch from afar are silenced for wanting a safer world. Is this a safe city? One where errant magics run amok at celebrated festival to claim the powers of demons? Where vampires turn humans against each other and werewolves try to change history with their own narratives? Where even members of our doctrine can be so easily brainwashed into worshiping dark powers? Well, you tell me. And how does the spotlight of the people of Salem and their festival relate to the radio station and their most popular show? Well, much like the festival itself, the station which has so egregiously corrupted the city and brought dangerous magics into thousands of homes has been rebuilt. The Shadow Dispatch has returned, and this will not be the last city to fall to such an agenda. Faithful listeners, the light of the last sunrise does not shine down upon Salem. The only option for these poor souls is to be purged in the Lord's coming flames and to pray for mercy. This has been Miranda Jones from The Rising Dawn. If you appreciate the work we do here at Rising Dawn Productions, remember RDP and The Last Sunrise need your donations in order to sustain sovereignty during the Civil War and to help bring the rest of the world into grand daybreak. So please consider upgrading to our premium membership for some cool rewards and access to our chat server, as well as the Temple Inner Sanctum. As always, Invictus will see you only from above, and I will see you next month.
Hey everyone, quick announcement at the end of the episode. As of this episode, we are joining AIEA. AIEA is a scripted fiction podcast network, and if you want, you can check out more of their stuff at aeaea.co. The Shadow Dispatch was created by Vince Marcellino and Patrick Flood. This episode was written by Susanna Bourne, Vince Marcellino, and Patrick Flood. The voice of Cheryl was Susanna Bourne, the voice of David was Vince Marcellino, and the voice of Ewan was Patrick Flood. Supporting cast for this episode were Janet Hurley-Kimlicko as Miranda Jones, Jake Seidel as Scrimples the Brownie, Jenna Wood as Winnie Deadwood, Tressa Brooks as Marcia Arcana, Shane Sespankowski as Trevor, with additional appearances from Kieran Barnes, Sean Barnes, Joel Kanji, Ben Dawson, Shay Fitzgerald, Maggie Hai Trang, John Kimlicko, Michael A. Lake, Carly Lemire Lake, and Jay Leonard. For more information about our show, check out our website, shadowdispatch.com, or follow the show on social media at Shadow Dispatch. If you like our show, please leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for use of his music in this episode. You can find his music on Bandcamp at kevinmacleod.bandcamp.com. And thanks to Too Mellow for use of our credits music. You can find his Bandcamp at toomellowmakes.bandcamp.com.